Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today we're in our second last Sunday of the church year, which will end next week with Christ the King Sunday. Today, however, is Saints Triumphant Sunday. It's all about celebrating the working of God throughout history for His people. Under His grace, God's people has always lived under His care, and they died under His grace. And today we celebrate how God, who rescued those who came before us, will continue to rescue his people until he brings them all to life everlasting. Let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, today we remember with thanksgiving those who in faith have gone on to heaven before us. As you have received our brothers and sisters who now rest from their labors, bring us at last with them into the light of your presence, that in union with all your saints we may praise your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we begin our service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. With all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name, amen. We turn to our Lord and speak our confession. Heavenly Father, we run hard the race which you have marked out for us. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, your perfect model for our faith. Yet we are easily distracted. We're hampered by severe strains in this life. Our sinful nature entangles and hinders us. Our thoughts, words, and actions fall far short in showing love for you and those around us. Lord, hear us as we turn to you and confess our sins. Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my open sins and my secret sins. Forgive the sins I know and the sins I do not know. Forgive the sins I did to please myself and the sins I did to please others. Forgive them all, gracious Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And as God said to his saints in heaven, so he says to each and every one of us here on earth. He says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. We collect our thoughts in prayer. Almighty God and Savior, you have set the final day and the hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of your Son, that we may sit with him and all your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson is from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Paul says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm. Hold on to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is God's word. And we turn to the Lord and hear the words that he speaks to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 20. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age and in the resurrection of the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the gospel of our Lord. And we confess our faith. I believe in God, our Lord and Father in heaven, who made us the crown of his creation. He preserves us from every good thing, that we may live before him in peace and joy. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son from eternity, who became a man for us sinners, who redeemed us from Satan's power with his holy precious blood, rose from death and made us his own to live with him now and forever. I believe in the Lord, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who draws us to our Savior by the gospel, who keeps us united in the true faith, forgives our sin, and at the end of the world will raise us from the death to eternal life. I believe in the triune God. Amen. With that then, we turn to our message for today, and it's going to come from the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 65. When Martin Luther's mother was in her final days of the sickness from which she would die, Luther comforted her with these words. He said, "In the gospel, in baptism, and in the sacrament of the altar, you possess God's sign and seal of your faith. And as long as you hear him addressing you in these, you will have no trouble or danger. Be of good cheer. Thank him joyfully for such great grace. For he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." In the midst of her pain and sadness, what comfort did Luther give to his mother? It was the same comfort that Jesus gave to his disciples. As I want to read from John chapter 16, verse 22, Jesus says to disciples, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Like Jesus and Luther, today the prophet Isaiah points us also to a life that's going to be free from sadness. These are the words, I'll read them. Isaiah 65, beginning at verse 17. "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought of as a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." These are the words of our Lord. The word "behold," which we started this section with, verse 17, is used 6 times in the translation of the NIV of the Bible. 2 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New, and all 4 times are in the book of Revelation. And each time the word is used, it calls our attention to something wonderful that's about to happen. the coming of Christ, both his first coming and his coming again in glory. What the Lord described in our lesson before us today mixes the church militant with the church triumphant. In other words, it mixes the New Testament church here on earth, the church militant, with the New Testament church in heaven, the church triumphant. Try to picture it this way. There is a beautiful mansion surrounded by huge grounds, and surrounding both the mansion and the grounds is a brick wall and a security gate. The only way into this place is through that security gate. The mansion is the church triumphant, heaven. The grounds is the church militant, the church on earth. And the wall is the Lord's protection of his church, and the gate is Jesus. And the only way to heaven is through that gate, through Jesus, the cross. And so keeping that picture in mind, let's begin, first of all, with the church triumphant, the saints triumphant, the mansion. Verses 17 and 18, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy." You might recall when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, later that day he looked over the city and he started to cry. He cried because there were so many who had rejected him. You're not going to hear Jesus crying, or you're not going to see him crying over the new Jerusalem, which is heaven. In heaven, tears will be a thing of the past. Sadness will be a thing of the past. That's why Luther could tell his mother to be of good cheer as she lay on her deathbed. And that's why we would call funerals the best day of our lives, because death will take us to a place without sadness. All of us have often been encouraged to prepare, to plan our funeral services. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, did such a thing. At his funeral, as he had planned, there was a biblical liturgy, there was organ playing, there was music and hymns. And just after the blessing, the benediction was given, an unseen bugler on one side of the cathedral began to play taps, which marks the end of a day or the death of a soldier. And as those mournful songs faded, or notes faded away, another unseen bugler on the other side of the cathedral began to play the reveille, which signals the start of the day. It was Churchill's way of saying that though he was dead on this side of heaven, he was getting up on the other side in heaven. As we remember the saints who have gone on to heaven before us, and as we anticipate the day that we will be in heaven, there's something else that catches our attention. Verse 19, "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more." Not only the saints are happy here in this earth, God is happy with them. He's like a parent being happy with the children. Talk about putting a smile on your face. And that takes care of the mansion. Let's go now to the grounds that are around the mansion, the church militant. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives for a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought as a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Here God describes something other than just the bliss of heaven. He's describing our lives right now, right here, as saints in the church militant, the New Testament church. Here now we come under God's care, his grace, his attention. Look back on your life for a moment. Do you see some sadness? Do you wipe away some tears? When a loved one closed their eyes in death for the last time, when you said some things you regretted, and look at your life right now. You see some sadness? Is there someone not sitting close to you that once was? Is there friction in your life, maybe at work, maybe at home? Are you sometimes afraid to even put your head in the pillow at night? And look at your life in the future. Do you see some sadness? A body that's starting to slow down, a mind that's becoming dull. We live in a world infested by sin, and sin brings sadness. No one escapes it. No matter who you are, what you are, no one escapes it. But here's the good part. We are people blessed by the Lord. When sadness hits our lives, it's like a stomach punch, and we're tempted to just give up, to throw in the towel. Remember the prophet Elijah? He was on the run from the people, trying to kill him. He was so filled with despair, he asked the Lord that take his life. He had enough, and he was a prophet of the Lord. I've had it, we shout, and sadness tempts us at times to give up. When that sadness hits you and tempts you, and it will, remember where you are, and remember how you got there. You are on the grounds of the mansion. You entered through the cross, the gate. You look ahead, and not too far away is the mansion. The saints, triumphant, are living out inside. Most of all, the Lord is inside, and he's looking out those big picture windows, and he's looking straight at you, and he sees exactly what's happening to you. And then he reminds you that saints live by prayer, and they live in peace. Verse 24, before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. Saints live by prayer. God can't get enough of our prayers. In prayer, we talk to God about the things in our lives that are bothering and robbing us of joy. And those prayers never fall on deaf ears. God assures us that even as we pray, he gives us the answer. Maybe not always the answer we want, but he answers us in love. And saints also live in peace. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. They'll neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. What does it mean to live in peace? It means no. No guilt of sin. No fear of death. We have peace through the forgiveness of sins Jesus won for us on the cross. Satan bites the dust. On Golgotha, the place of the skull, Jesus crushed that devil's head. We have peace. One day, like Martin Luther, his mother, each of us will face death. That's when the rubber will meet the road. It'll be the final and ultimate test of our faith. Satan's going to tempt us to be sad, but don't. Remember these words. Lift up your hearts. Be glad. In the gospel, in baptism, and the sacrament of the altar, you possess God's sign and seal of your faith. And as long as you hear him addressing you in these, you will have no trouble or danger. Be of good cheer then. Thank him joyfully for such great grace. For he who has begun a good work in you, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And on this Saints' Triumphant Day, we remember those of our congregation, but also those in our own lives who have gone before us. They were created by God to offer him praise. They were redeemed by Jesus, God's Son. They were filled with the Holy Spirit through holy baptism where God gave them life. They were nourished in the company of his people through the Lord's Supper and the Word. And in his mercy, God has taken them to his presence, that they may continue in joyful service to him forever. We have a moment of silence then to remember the family and friends who have gone home to heaven. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, they will rest from their labors, and their deeds will follow them. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.